Thank you, preacher. John chapter 7. Good to be here tonight. It's a serious business, isn't it? I pray for this church often. I got vested interest, of course. You think about God saying, where two or three are gathered, there will I be in the midst. Are you ready for that tonight? What are you looking for this week? To say that was a good meeting, is that what you're looking for? You realize you could be the answer to 1,000 prayers tonight if you let God have His way. John chapter 7. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacle was at hand. His brethren, therefore, these are His flesh and blood brothers, said unto Him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For it's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet under this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd bless your word to our hearts. Lord, we need so much more in this dark, sin-sick sewer of a world. We need so much more than just a good meeting this week. Lord, we need to come out of this place ready to be victorious. Lord, we need to break the bonds of sin, and we need to light and salt this world. And if it's not going to be done out of a place like this, I don't know where it's going to be done. Would you help us? Would you give us our joy and our peace and our glory that we need to serve you better? And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. These are His own flesh and blood brothers who at this time believe not. And basically, they're saying, hey, big brother, it's obvious you want to get your name out there. You just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. It's only natural, with all this notoriety and you wanting to accomplish this work that you're talking about, to get to the next level. Why don't you go up to this big feast and really put on a show? And Jesus goes into this discourse on the world. And more or less, I'm ad-libbing, but He says, sorry, little brothers, but right now is not the time for that. Soon enough will come the time where I'll kick it into fourth gear, and then Satan's hour in the power of darkness, when I'll be handed into the hand of sinners that want to kill me. That's what you read about in verse 1. My time has not yet come. And then He drops this bomb on His own brothers. He said, but you, on the other hand, your time's now. Because you're of the world. See, they don't hate you the way they hate me. In fact, the world, He says this to His own brothers, the world cannot hate you. Obviously, because they believe not. And although some very religious people up where I'm going are bothered by my miracles and good deeds, it's not what I do that garners so much hate for me. It's that you are a part of in this world. It's what I say about it. I testify that the works thereof are evil. But you guys don't have anything to worry about. Because the world cannot hate you. I got a question tonight. Can the world hate you? They may not, but could the world find a biblical reason to hate you the way they hated Jesus Christ? Now let me say this, nobody wants to be hated. And yet Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, our example of all matters of faith and practice, the Bible said He was hated. Mostly because of what He said about this world and the people in it and of it. The little bracelet says, what would Jesus do? Let me tell you what He did do. He got people so mad because of what He said about them that they killed Him. So I can only conclude that if I mirror the life of Jesus Christ and how I live in this world and what I say about this world and how I relate to this world, especially in the dark day in which we live, something good, like Joel Osteen says, may not happen to me today. Maybe something bad is going to happen to me today. He said, marvel not, they hated me before they hated you, and if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Did you get that on the internet discipleship program? Did you get that when you read 40 Days of Purpose? In this progressive philosophy that is cracked in the churches that said, you have to be like the world if you're going to win the world. No, you didn't get it there, but you get it in the Bible. Listen, being hated by the world is not the goal. Don't get me wrong. It's simply a result of not only living like Jesus Christ, but testifying the way He testified. Can the world hate you? I hear this a lot. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Amen. But you know what the gospel is, don't you? You know what the gospel is defined in the Bible? It's a Bible-believing church. I saw a lady down in Orlando. She had a shirt that said, a lot can happen in 3 days. 1 Corinthians 15:4. I said, I'm going to get me one of those. You know the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how that Christ died for our... What? Just preach the gospel. I am. That first element of the gospel will garner hate from this world. And the world and the flesh and the devil will tell you, don't bother with sin. They want to hear, come and make a donation and make your connection to God. Listen, until sin is addressed and you realize that you are disconnected from God, lost or saved, there'll be no connection. The last I read the Romans wrote, the first step was, all have sinned. And that's the message that got Jesus hated, and that's the message that'll get you and I hated. If we do what Jesus did and testified what Jesus testified, I wonder, can the world hate you tonight? You say, well, I'm working on sanctification. So I can get to a place where I'm so holy that I'll let my little light shine and people will be drawn to Jesus. So we're going to go get us a little farm up in the hills. I'm going to get the girls some burlap sacks and we are going to get sanctified. Good luck. You know what the problem is? When you get up in your sanctimonious paradise, there's sinners up there. And you will grieve God and man. You want a shortcut to sanctification? I'll give you a shortcut. Just like that. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify is akin to separate. Let me explain. Every Sunday at the Cam Fam home up there in New York, there's that high school sweetheart back there on Saturday, she's rolling them meatballs and she's frying that Ginelli hot Italian sausage and those country style spare ribs, and she's putting that tomato puree and that garlic and that and all that stuff, and she's mixing that up and that's bubbling, and then Sunday morning She takes it and she puts it in the crock pot and she sanctifies it. You say, how's she do that? Hasta la shanta. No. She sets it apart, namely for me, when I get home from preaching. Set apart. Sanctified. Listen, when you start testifying of the truths of this book as it relates to the world, filled with sinners in need of a Savior or else, you'll be sanctified by default. You won't have to leave them. They will leave you. You don't even have to have chickens or goat milk. I didn't have to leave my friends. They left me. Man, sanctified just like that. You imagine Jesus saying to his own brothers, you're the world. I mean, isn't that kind of judgmental? Does that sound very loving to you? It's not the route that most of us would take with a worldly kin. But it's what Jesus did. I see it all the time. Kids grow up in church and they get to a certain age. You say, what age? It varies, you know. For the guys, it's usually when it transfers from when the girls had cooties and now they're kind of cuties. Somewhere in that age in there, they make a decision, one of two things. Either they don't believe or they don't like our brand. It's too hard. We got to wear skirts. Oh my goodness. What did the martyrs do? Too many crosses to take up. And here's what I hear from parents and pastors and peers, and when they see friends and family making bad decisions and they start to rebel, and in the home and in the church, and they start to push the envelope and they start to tear up the home and defile the church. Here's what they say. We're just loving on them. We're just showing them the love of Jesus. And listen, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I believe in it, and I've been through it. I'm for it. But can I say that out of balance with the Bible has robbed us of a powerful truth in the Bible? Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're just loving on them. You say, you sound mean. Well, James is up next. He's nice. I'm so sick of seeing what this world is doing to our kids and our homes and our churches and our families. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said, this had to be a church kid. Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, read those next two words out loud. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross, if that weren't enough. Sell everything you have, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possession. I want you to focus on loved him saying. Does that sound like a love message to you? Go sell all that you have, take up the cross, and follow me. Doesn't seem very loving. But evidently it was Jesus' motivation. I'm just trying to give you a balance on this thing. We're just trying to love them. We're just loving on them while they're tearing everything up. Jesus loved him. In this, listen, don't let these modern, progressive, liberal Christians define how Jesus loves. Let the Bible define it. How can you preach so mean? Maybe because I love you enough to tell you. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. 2 Chronicles 36. Love shoots straight, and we're losing that. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. Have you ever heard the message of the prophets? You call that a compassion message? I just listened to, on my walk yesterday, Isaiah chapter 1. You say that that message stems from compassion? No, God said that. Well, some with fear, that means hard. Others with compassion, that means loving on them. Not according to that verse right there. I'm just trying to give you a balance. That hard preaching from prophets sprung from God's love and compassion. So when your parents are a little bit rough, and your pastor is a little bit rough, and the preacher's a little bit rough, don't think, everybody hates me. It springs from compassion and love. Well, that's why I prefer the Psalms. They're not quite so. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. The Psalms. God who is love said that. He that loves Him chasteneth him. Love shoots straight or God doesn't love us. Reprove negative, rebuke negative, exhort positive. Two-thirds negative. Why? You've got to get the rubbish out before you can build. You've got to get them lost before you can get them saved. You've got to get them wrong before you can get them right. And you know why our country is filled with worldly, weak, anemic Christians and churches? We've lost our salt, we've lost our light, we've lost our impact. People are getting saved before they get lost, if there is such a thing. They're getting right before they get wrong, if there is such a thing. You've got to be broken before you can build. Jesus, who was the personification of the love of God, looked at His brothers and says, the world can't hate you. So evidently, according to Jesus, if I'm of it, and I'm about to show you, or if I love it, it cannot hate me. So, I got a message today. If you don't want to be hated by the world, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out today. I'm going to give you some help. You don't want to be hated. I just can't bear the thought of being hated by this world. Number one, stay lost. If you're here and you're not saved and you just can't bear the thought of being hated by the world, just don't get saved. Turn to John 15. John 15. Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. I wonder, does the world love you? But because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. You don't want to be hated by this world? Don't get saved. When the invitation comes, don't come. Now you go to hell, but you'll go loved by the world. And you know what will happen when you get there? Remember Amnon? It's he saw something he thought he wanted. And when he got it, the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. You know what you're going to find out when you get there? You're going to hate this world. Want to keep the world from hating you? Just stay lost. Or number two, just get saved, but don't take it too serious. He said, they that know not me. Now, there's two knowings in the Bible. One for our illustration today is acquaintance. In other words, you're part of the family. You're saved. But there's another knowing in the Bible, and it's intimacy. It's love at the highest level. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot that know Him as personal Savior. They are acquainted. They are in the family. But there is no intimacy. There's prayer, but it's never intimate, effectual, fervent prayer. There's Bible, but it's never deep-rooted communion. See, intimacy produces fruit with God and men. There's ministry, but it's only because it's what we do. You ever stop to think how many children born in this world have a father but don't know Him? I'm sure in the sound of my voice there's marriages where there is no intimacy. Yeah, brother, you don't understand what it's like. Yeah, but God does. I'm saying, you want to avoid being hated by this world? Just keep it shallow. Unfortunately, too many young people, our God is like this communal God. He's sort of the God at church and the God that we talk about, and they may sing in the choir and they may hold a sign on the street corner, but man, there's no, and I don't think feeling is the root of salvation, but I certainly know it's the fruit of salvation. And you don't get a fuzzy feeling like you get with a video game. You imagine more intimacy with a video game. Or a sports contest or a social media. You want to keep the world from hating you? Just stay lost. Or just get in and just sort of keep your distance. James chapter 4, I'll give you another one. Anything but be hated by the world. Hebrews then James chapter 4. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to keep this world from hate? Just make friends with them. You want to be like Jesus, brothers, and just totally be immune from being hated by this world and be put in a category that I am immune from being hated? That is the goal of this progressive movement, isn't it? How can we do this thing without being hated? Just make friends with them. Just go up to your Facebook feast. And just love everybody. And just friend everybody. No matter what they say about you, no matter what they say about your God, no matter what they say about your church, no matter what they say about your pastor, just friend them all. And you'll never have to worry about being hated. Just give it, when you see their worldliness, just
like. And if there was a love button, I'd hit that.
They'll love you. Especially if you're in this place and this is where they came from. Don't doubt it. Enmity with God? Isn't that what it says? How does a God that sets His love on the nation of Israel say, I hated them for the wickedness that they're doing? I don't know, but that's what it says. I do know enough about it to know that I don't want to be there. Man, I don't want to be hated. Stay lost. Get saved. Keep your distance. Make friends with them. Just love them and all the things they love. Now listen, don't mistake this love with loving people enough to give them the gospel and loving your enemies. The spirit of the writing is pretty self-explanatory, but get 2 Chronicles 19. 2 Chronicles 19. Second Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said unto King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Absolutely, positively, yes, if you don't want them to hate you. Works every time. Just love them and the things that they love. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love what they have. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If we could personify 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of, you know, the way God was personified in Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and what if we could take that verse and make it into a person? Would you get along? Would you think he or she was kind of cute? Would you hit it off? Maybe you'd get intimate. Would there be a mutual attraction? Listen, is there a mutual attraction between you and the world? Does the world or the worldly that doesn't care for your church, doesn't care for your pastor, doesn't care for your Bible, doesn't care for your Jesus have a little lure? You know what the prophet said? He said, I'm jealous! Why are you preaching like that? Because I'm jealous! I'm a Bills fan. ,000 people in a stadium. Jealous! And that's for losers! You want to keep the world from hating you? Just go up to the social media fest. and friend 1 John 2:15 and like 1 John 2:15 and share 1 John 2:15 all that is in the world. And you'll be immune from them hating. You have nothing to worry about. You say, preacher, you're stretching it. That's exactly what God called it with the nation of Israel. He said, you are stepping out with your lovers. I'm just trying to get us to see our relationship with this world the way God sees it. And when I'm pointing one at you, there's a whole bunch pointing back at me, okay? Let's get better together, amen? Just love what they love. You have nothing to worry about. Just go up to the feast and see what's trending. Take your cues from the world for living. And if the trend, listen to me, is non-binary and transgender and gender neutral, then girls, just go get a pair of jeans and some Converse sneakers and butch your hair off and put a little bone in your nose. And you'll never have nothing to worry about. If there is ever a time to draw the distinctions that God has drawn between man and women, it's now. It's a sad day when the transgenders have it figured out and we don't. You never seen a drag queen with jeans and a t-shirt on. They know how women dress. You've never seen a boy that wants to be a girl keep his jeans and t-shirt on. Funny but sad. Boys don't want to be hated by this world. Just get your little skinny jeans and get you a little Bud Light and just sort of take 100 selfies of yourself. And and they that went out from among us of and were not of us, they'll give you 1,000 likes. You can even be an influencer. I was I wasn't saved till I was 26. And two of my real good friends were real straight. I mean, we were all athletes and stuff, but we were weekend partiers. And I got this one guy, he was straight as an arrow, man. I got him into partying. And he was this close to dying. 25, he was homeless on the streets of Las Vegas. You know what I did? I influenced them. You know what God's looking for in you young people? He's looking for some influencers for Jesus Christ! Influence that's going to last into eternity. You want to be immune from being hated by the world? Just stay lost. Just get stayed, but be an undercover agent for Jesus. Make friends, love what they love, just like them all day long. Here's one. We're in 1 John chapter 2. Go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm finishing up chapter 4. 1,000 prayers could be answered tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Just don't heed the preacher. I listened to the message Sunday night that he preached. I'll tell you how not to let the world be worried about the world hating you. Just don't. And you don't even remember what he said anyways. But if you do, just don't heed it. You'll be okay. Stop your ears to the preaching. You better thank God the preaching that you get. Preacher's been challenging you for 10 years to live for God and sell out and pick up a cross. And the world comes along and says, And you say, oh, it's just too hard. Oh, nobody else does it like this. The world doesn't do it like this. The worldly churches don't do it like this. And the world comes along and says, pour a 10-gallon bucket of ice on your head. All that thou hast said, we will do. Legalism. I think that's illegalism. Paint your hair orange and put a bone in your nose and show your flesh. Okay. I don't know who invents styles. I don't know how they change them. I know that you it has to change because they wouldn't make no money. I know you talked about shorts the other day. I'm not going to go on that, but when we were kids, man, in gym class, you hit shorts like this. In 89, the shorts were like this. And the guys playing, they were hanging down like this. And now you know what they're doing? Now they're coming back up again. The glasses. My daughter's like, ah, look how big your glasses used to be. This is 15 years ago. They got these little glasses like this because that was cool. Who makes that up? Brother, you've got to look like an owl now to have a pair of glasses. Look at those little glasses. Yeah, that's what you were laughing at. You know what's turned our churches into rock and roll concert halls and sports arenas and drama centers? With a whole bunch of lost people that think they're going to heaven, they're going to hell. And if they are saved, they have no impact at all. The underlying philosophy became, how can we do this without the world hating us? And I'm telling you, if we do it all, you can't. You know, if you apply what I'm saying, you could really go out and start a big church. Just let the people stay lost. Just, you know, salvation without repentance. Just get saved, but don't push it. Just do everything worldly. Just talk like them. Look at First John. We're in John 4, 5. First John 4, 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. You young guys going out to the world, going out to university, and I don't care if it's PCC or not, just talk filthy. And you'll never have to worry about being mocked. You'll never have to worry about being scorned. You'll never have to worry about being distanced by anyone but Jesus. And for God's sake, don't talk Bible. I regret growing up lost. There's baggage, man. I'm going to be 63 next month, and there's baggage. I could be in a place and hear two notes of a song. I can name that tune, and I'm trying not to boogie in the Walmart aisle. But I'll tell you what. I tasted it, and I tasted it long and hard, and I know this. I don't want to go back. And that's why I pity some of you guys. In some ways, you're doing it the right way. Don't get me wrong. But you just look and say, man, it looks good. It's not good. And listen, if you got that eye in that far country, I'm telling you, and you're in here, and your parents are here, and you got saved, and you might be singing, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you're scrolling. I'm telling you, you'll never get total satisfaction in either place. You're going to be a fraud to them, and everybody in here knows that you're a fraud in here. Why don't you get all in this week? Give them a year. I'm done with the world for a year. And watch. Otherwise, you're just going to be a spiritual bipolar schizophrenic. You want your joy back, your peace back? If you're not saved, get saved. If you're flirting with the world, I'll tell you what the smart people say of people that have done something outside, let's say their marriage, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, and they want restoration, here's what they say. You have to totally cut off that communication with that which is unlawful. Or that heart will just be torn. God puts it this way. And that's your opportunity this week. Come out from among them. I'm sitting here. Yeah, where are you on Instagram? And be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. And you might have to pitch your computer, and you might have to pitch your phone, and you might have to pitch your best friend. But I'm telling you, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Parents, don't doubt what you love in this world in moderation, they will love in excess. There's only one thing they won't love in excess, what you love in moderation, and that's God. Can the world hate you? Jesus looked at his flesh and blood brothers and said, they can't hate you. Galatians chapter 1, I promise this is my last verse. Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. But other than the apostles saw I none save James, who? The world can't hate you, James, in John 7. But he made a decision, and they can hate him in Galatians chapter 1. And if there's hope for him, there's hope for you, and there's hope for me. And I wonder if God wouldn't raise up a generation of young people and a generation of young couples that would say, you know what, we may be young and we may be in this dark world, but make no mistake, we are in it, but we are not of it. And the only love we have for it is plucking the lost and the worldly out of it.